Okay, here I am with James Eaves. James is alone in the gallery from Cape Ann G Clay. Where, and your better half is?
She's at home. She was moving our daughter this weekend, so she's a little wiped out.
Oh, she's wiped out.
Yeah.
James is hard at work on he's fixing up one of my photos for sale, and he just got done last. When did the Charlie Carroll show end?
Charlie Carroll show ended week before last.
Charlie did very well.
He did very, very well. We sold somewhere around 22 pieces,
which is, I mean, that is phenomenal.
Yeah, that's a really, we're very, very pleased. We were all very nervous because it was an abstract show, and he was anxious about that. I wasn't as anxious about that, but I was anxious because it was our first one-person show. And I wanted it to be a grand success for Charlie and,
oh, of course,
you know, for us too. But I mean, mostly I wanted him to be really. So he's now in Virginia, paid for by his show.
Very nice.
Which is nice.
We should back up just a little bit and talk and just briefly explain Cape Ann G Clay, what you guys do here.
We're a fine art printer and gallery. So, you know, we do fine art printing, hot, you know, museum quality G Clay printing.
And you have... there's several rooms in your space here. One is, you know, your digital editing room, which we're sitting and taping this podcast right now.
That's right.
Then Anna has her space.
Yeah, she has an office where pretty much is her office and where we store canvas materials and such.
And then you have the production slash gallery space.
That's right. We have a production. We decided originally that we wanted to open our space. We didn't want a counter out front. We just wanted to open our space. We wanted artists to be able to come and play here, which leads me to another space that we have in the garage is now a photo studio.
Oh.
And I have strobe lighting in there, so any fine artist that wants to play with commercial photography equipment can come over here and play. So if they have some sort of tabletop shooting that they want to do, their soft boxes, my laptop connects, right now to a Nikon or a Canon.
Wow.
Directly.
So the lighting is already set up in there?
Yeah, it's in there.
Wow. Yeah. So
and I'm buying continuous lighting, softbox. I have a boom, you know, everything. Like the whole thing. So any fine art photographer that wants to play with my commercial photography equipment can do that.
Give me a rough idea how much that stuff would cost to buy on their own.
The high end guys, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands. I bought it, you know, one of those eBay things, and it came with three lights and what have you. But of course, the tripods, you know, the tripods weren't tall enough and all that. So I probably had around $1,200 into it.
$1,200 that someone doesn't have to spend to start experimenting.
They could come and play, and Charlie's borrowed them.
Yeah.
He wants to do a thing with men in hats, and that's why I'm buying the continuous lighting. So that we have two different types of lighting sources for target. And also that space, I have a couple of painters that work in their living room in a corner. And so they're painting, you know, 11 by 14, 16 by 20 is the biggest they can go. And they want to go bigger, but they don't have the space for it. So they're going to come and paint in the garage. We have heater out there. And, you know, so it's a space for artists to kind of, you know, I'm not using it for anything but storage. So it doesn't make sense for me to have it all on the ground. So I'm putting all the storage up on the ceiling, and the ground floor is for photographers and artists to play.
The idea is this is not just all about taking orders and fulfilling orders. This is a community space where, you know, creative people.
Yeah, right. I mean, we're a printer, but we felt from that, and your big inspiration for that, the whole Good Morning Gloucester and community, you know, marketing through community service, as opposed to, you know, come take what I have and aren't I great? We feel like if we just jump in and we stir the pot up and get creative things going and make creative resources available, then there will be more work for us. It's an assumption that so far has panned out very well for us. I mean, we're doing really, really well.
Yeah.
We have corporate accounts now, where a corporate office building out in Northfield is buying, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 worth of canvases from us. So it's you know, it's nice. Yeah. That piece of it's working out really well. Yeah. You know that I'm also a commercial retoucher, so I mean, a lot of this is financed with, you know, ad agencies hiring me to retouch pictures, you know.
It's amazing, and it's a testament to that whole theory of you know, I love it. I love what you guys are doing. It's we have a lot of good people all kind of pulling in the same direction, it seems.
Right.
And everybody benefits from it exponentially.
You know what I mean? Indeed. I mean, you know, we're already one of the top 10 art tourist spots in the country, I think. And, you know, there's no reason why we can't have that be a really good, solid trade. And and none of us is going to get it there by ourselves. None of us.
And we were just talking, you know, you had been speaking with Kim Smith, and I had been speaking with EJ. I'm like, geez, I really got to join the Rocky Neck Art Colony. Like, you know, it's not a whole lot of money.
No, it's nothing.
And they do such a great work. They do such great work, and it's just such a no-brainer. And you agreed with that.
I agree. Yeah, I don't even know why. I mean, I keep telling Stevie that, you know, that I'm joined, you know, sign me up, and then I just haven't gotten the check to him yet.
Right, right. I gotta stop.
It's one of those things that, you know, and I've been down there to every single opening they've had,
yeah.
And they're wizards at openings. They have really nice space. I think they're buying the space.
Have
right?
you met? They just passed the keys this past week. The Rocky Neck Community Center.
Right, and so that's you know, so again, just like a bunch of people in this town, they're really working the problem. Yeah. Not just for themselves, they're jumping in to work the problem, and we just want to be part of that.
Yeah, and it's one of these things where a bunch of hands is a little bit of lifting, but a huge impact.
Right.
As opposed to like one or two people, you know, where it's, you know, hardly anything gets done. But yeah, a lot of good people there. So here's a question I've been asking everybody in the pod, we started this last week.
Mm-hmm.
What is your? Do you know the premise behind the death row sub?
The what?
Death row sub. So you're in Gloucester, Massachusetts,
uh-huh.
And you're on death row, and this is your the executioner gives you the option for one last submarine sandwich in Gloucester, Massachusetts. Uh-huh. What's your death row sub gonna be?
Oh, it's easy. It's the same one I get every time I get a sandwich. It's a club, you know, turkey, ham, roast beef, lettuce, onions, green peppers, pickles, olives, mayo, salt, pepper. Lots of salt, pepper.
From where?
Subway.
Oh, you're a Subway guy.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Subway. That's your day. You get that.
Well, you know why? Because that's where I'm a creature of habit. So that's where I go when I get my sandwich.
That's your spot. Okay.
And I need to go to some of these other places around town.
You gotta go to Virgilio's for sure. You gotta check that.
That's what I need to do.
There's a lot of good. Or around the corner, you have Yellow Sub. They make good subs. And Destino's is another right around the corner from you. You gotta check that out. Okay, Death Row meal now.
Meal
restaurant. Anywhere in Gloucester, your last meal, where is it going to be?
It's tough. Mamie's Kitchen's breakfast, just a nice breakfast would be nice.
That would be your the last.
I don't know if that'd be my last meal. Breakfast is a good meal.
It's
a good meal, and you know
the streak is we're resuming the streak with Mamie's Kitchen being recognized on the podcast. She's gone every podcast being mentioned. Except for one with my daughter Madeline, and we've resumed the streak with Alicia DeWolf being mentioned on the podcast. She's gonna be happy about that.
That's good. Yeah. Well, that's good because you know she's right there. It's a great atmosphere in there. You know, it's very very comfortable.
It is.
You know, and you're right there at the counter eating, and breakfast is one of my favorite meals. So there you go.
I love those people. You got so you had Charlie Carroll, you did the Good Morning Gloucester opening, then you had Charlie, and you have upcoming, you have a cat named Dino.
Yeah, Dino is a guy, he's a street artist from Boston, he's been selling on the street. We put a call to artists out last year. He's one of the first people that returned our, you know, Craigslist ad, mm-hmm. Looking for artists, and we've been representing him ever since. He's doing really well. He just recently sold, a Giclée, which he's very excited because he was printing off on his own home printer.
Yeah, you don't get the same results.
You're right, and so he's just, you know, all excited. Yeah. Also, so he's very innovative. He does these mandalas or really involved illustrations, and they're designed to turn. So they're gonna be mounted on the wall, but you're gonna be able to turn them and look at the art from any angle.
Wow!
And there's some that are designed to spin, and there's some illustrations that he's done that he's designed that were you construct them 3D. Like a pyramid or a box or a hexagon or whatever that is. And it's surreal because it looks like you're looking into it, but it's, even though it's a three-dimensional object. So there's a lot of really very interesting experimenting that we're doing here.
I saw his work. You took it out of the tube for me, and I saw it, and it is very intricate. I'm looking at it and I'm wondering, geez, you screw up one little time, and how do you correct anything?
Like, right, with ink, and he does it in pencil.
It's amazing to me, like, what kind of confidence you have,
right,
to produce something like that. When is his opening?
His opening is the 1st of June.
1st of June. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a big month in Gloucester. June. I mean, everything starts popping 1st of June.
Right.
That's good.
Well, yeah, it's what we're all doing. I think the... how many openings are down there in Rocky Neck that same weekend?
Yeah, openings, but I mean, a lot of there's the Fiesta in June. You have that's when kids get out of school and like the town is just buzzing.
Yeah, so
he should have a monster opening,
right?
Especially if he's from out of town and bringing his friends down here.
Yeah, he's bringing Boston. He's also a band, so he's got a huge following from his band. His Facebook page has 15,000 followers, so he's doing okay.
This place, you may have to set up a tent outside.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's what I love about being right next to that Shaw's parking lot. It's just that our parking lot's big enough to hold people.
True. Yeah, that's a good point.
The garage will be open.
I loved our opening here. It was so much fun, and I loved having the camera on.
We're definitely doing that for Dino's.
I was stuck at work, like for the first hour, I couldn't get here on time, and so I was watching it. I was watching it online while it was streaming, and I was taking screenshots of the people of the buffet table.
Right.
So whenever someone went in for food, I was capturing them in awkward poses. And it was just so
cramming
fun.
Food in their mouths.
It was so fun. Yeah. So do you have someone. Do you go out and ask people to do shows, or do people approach you?
Charlie approached us. We approached
Dino.
Carol McKenna wants to do one. Tom Falzarano wants to do one. I don't know if we're ever going to do an exclusively one man show again, because it was a little. It's quite a bit of work for the artist.
Yeah.
To fill a whole space, we have a lot more wall space than we realized. I mean, we have a lot of wall space in here for. For showing art. So I think that we're going to dedicate two walls or three walls or...
Will there always be one section that is... or do you take everything down? Like when you have a one-man show or a two-person show, like does any of the permanent collection stay up or do you...
That's what I'm saying, is that we're going to have, the hallway, and there's a bunch of walls that aren't as well lit as other walls. So we'll always have other stuff, what we call the permanent collection is just... samples of the work of artists that we've printed, and
you're printing out. You actually said you're going to print out a couple of mine
that'll
be part of the permanent collection.
And the same deal we have with you, we have with all the artists. If they, we have artists come in here borrowing our prints because we cover the cost of the printing for our in-house stuff.
Yeah.
Then they come and they borrow the prints if they're having an opening or a show or an event of some kind.
Or rotate.
If it sells, great. They bring me the money for my printing money.
Yep.
And if it doesn't sell, they just bring the print back and I hang it back up on the wall.
Yeah,
that
makes
which
sense.
Happens. Actually, they sell quite a bit, the ones that people pull. We rarely see them pulled off the wall and put back. I mean, usually they sell.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
The quality of the work is amazing. So you're how many years have you been sitting behind an editing...
I started in 84, and it was on a Cytex machine, which was like a $2.5 million image editing that couldn't do a 16th of what Photoshop can do today.
That's amazing.
And people used to pay $1,000 an hour. It was insane.
Oh, but, wow.
We had our hard drive. We had like a 180 meg hard drive, which was huge in those days. But it took up an entire room, the size of this office it took up.
Wow.
So I started back then. Before that, I was doing it with an airbrush.
Is there, for kids today that are in college or in high school, is now that there's all this consumer-grade photo editing software available, is there opportunities for young people to get into this line of work? Or are they just so I know someone that was close to me that went to school. He went to one of the big Boston schools, very expensive school, and he went to school to learn how to be a cameraman.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, you know, you go to a communication school and you spend $50,000 a year to become a cameraman. How many positions are there out there for cameramen? And how many kids are graduating every year? There's 4, 5, and 7, and you know, then there's, you know, there's only so many stations that need cameramen,
right,
and,
right.
And how often do these positions turn over? So you're getting this huge, you know, this big time degree and spending a lot of money to go into a, is it a highly competitive field? I guess is the question.
You know, photography especially is one of those things. We've seen in my personal sphere of reality, I've seen the biggest change in photography. Most of the high-end $4,500 a day commercial photographers that I've been working with for the past 20 years, most of them have either folded or changed how they operate.
Mm.
Many of them went into video because now the new DSLRs have great video features, and you know, they're getting into video and they're diversifying, doing GIF animations, still photography and video all in one shoot. The bottom line, the guys that are really making it well are the guys that are just the adamant professionals, the people that really know what they're doing, really know how to work well with others and create something from nothing. Sure, there's lots of photo editing, and I can, you know, anybody can take somebody's face and put it on another head and all that stuff. But when I do a photo retouch, it has to be invisible. You know, the world can't know that there was a retoucher involved in that project. It has to appear as if it came right out of the can.
Right.
And that kind of work is, so from that place, I think that there's still plenty of work for any professional technician, if you will.
So you think it's not
in
a bad,
any industry.
You're saying it's not a bad career choice for some.
No, I think it's a great career choice. It how you make money at it has changed dramatically. It's no longer you get a job, you get trained in the job, and then you work there for 30 years, you take your pension and retire.
Yeah.
Those days are gone.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot more freelance, kind of innovative, creating something from nothing kind of project. You have to create projects for yourself,
mm-hmm.
and then see if you can make money off of them. And there's a lot more. I mean, I've been doing that for the last, 10 years. But I've been independent for 15 years now, photo retouching.
I mean, you had a monster head start.
I've been photo retouching for a lot of years. I worked in agencies and printers and so forth.
So
but when I broke out on my own, I was, it was right at the beginning of when all of this anybody can do it technology came out. And the truth is, not anybody can do it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I just...
And there's always going to be a demand, especially in the commercial trades, like you said, the news media and all that stuff. Some guy that follows a reporter around and does the kind of coverage. There's still going to be lots of iPhone videos of that event. But in the end, what that guy's doing just to set up so that the lights for the reporter is technologically beyond, the do-it-yourself software apps.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
I just see that, like traditional media and traditional things, everybody's gotten hacked away, it seems like, what they're willing to pay for photographs, or what they're willing to pay reporters, or how many reporters they can keep on staff, because there's different media. There's bloggers. Like,
right.
I'm not a journalist. I am not held to journalistic, all this stuff that like a real newspaper reporter has set of, kind of ground rules of what they have to work within, of accepted journalistic principles. Like me, I can talk
about whatever you want.
I can start the sentence with and
right.
my punctuation can be all over the place, and I but you're
an example of what I'm talking about, is that you're somebody that's taking the technology that you can download, basically, or buy on, wherever, like this mic, and you can become a journalist. You can become someone that's communicating about the world around you, which is what journalists do.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be lots of different levels, mommy bloggers, and then there's the high-end journalists that are hoping to get on, the Today Show in one of those seats. There's always going to be a range of professional outlets for people in any industry.
Yeah.
I thought for sure photo retouching would disappear off the face of the earth once, art directors and production artists and creative directors could learn Photoshop. Guess what? They didn't learn Photoshop the way I know Photoshop.
Yeah.
In the end, I don't have to do as much grunt work as I used to, because they can do it themselves, which is okay by me.
Right.
But I'm getting tons of work because now they're starting to It's funny because the art directors and the ad agencies, they're starting to see what's possible in Photoshop in terms of creative process.
Oh, okay.
You know, so when I used to just be doing, you know, masking out objects into a white background because they didn't know how to do it, now I'm taking 15 or 30 images and compiling them into one finished image that looks like it was shot because now they know it's possible.
Right.
So for me, I think a lot of that, you know, the people that purchase resources, you know, cameramen, retouchers, photographers, whatever, their expectations are much higher. Yeah. Which gives a guy who has 30 years experience or who's really 100% into my field more opportunities. I'm completely booked right now.
Yeah.
I mean, completely.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I see what you're, I see what you're saying now. Yeah, like, so everything was, the whole bar was raised. So right. Because the bar was raised, yeah, there's room for these, you know, lower tier people.
Right.
But now there's all this this work that only the high end guys can do.
Right.
But there's also this
new
work that
a realm of creative process that was completely non-existent 10 years
ago.
Right. Just completely, and it's a blast. I'm having so much fun.
So maybe that's a lesson for a newspaper, right?
Absolutely.
So there's the lesson for the newspaper. So you know, if they want to survive, right, and the budgets are getting shrunk and everything else, they can't look at it from, okay, we're going to do it the same way we did it 10 years ago or 15 years ago.
Right.
We have to be raising the bar of what we can do and how we can do it and what we can push out.
Right. Yeah, all bets are off. In terms of how the industry looks. The way I do business and the people I work with, there's almost nothing like when I in the 80s or the 90s when I was doing it for a living. And I could get a job doing it and all that. There's a lot more independent people out there in the world that are surviving. It's not just some guy who lost his job and he's doing a few jobs to help him make ends meet. There's a lot of people that are doing really huge work, which I love the whole software boom where anybody can do it because I download an app to solve a problem,
yeah.
It, you know, just as easily as the person who doesn't know how to use the app. I'm experienced at learning apps. I can learn an app at a professional grade level in half a day.
Right.
You know, because I have to do it every day.
So if they're not, if these old school media types aren't, if you're not kind of recreating a certain portion of your business mm-hmm. every year, and there's going to be someone else that's going to do it for you.
Right. Even, I mean, I'm a Photoshop artist, and the Photoshop I work in today is very, very different program than the one I started out in. Yeah. Photoshop 1 didn't have anywhere, it was, you know, you were basically taking the red out of people's eyes and taking pimples off their faces.
Yeah.
You know, that was it.
Yeah.
And then I think it was Photoshop 3 where they had guides where you could start doing layout and design and organizing information on a spread. And then so today it's completely different.
Mm.
It's a different job. And we, you know, I reinvent myself every day. I mean, I'm constantly, you know, start from scratch every morning.
I've spoken to some old school media people. I won't mention what their names are, but and they were a little bit older, and they and I, you know, I talked to them about, you know, social media and, you know, a blog or Facebook or Twitter, and they, a couple of them, didn't even have a smartphone. You know, they're still using an old school phone,
right.
And to me, like, and it's the same, it would be the same for like a real estate agent. Like, if you're not using that kind of technology, like, I'm sorry, but you're not being as effective as you could be. Like, it isn't just writing a story anymore. It's getting the story in front of people
right.
that want to, you know, should read it. So like, and the way they said it to me, there's like almost like a badge of honor. Like, oh no, I'm not, I don't do Facebook or I don't do this.
Right.
And I'm saying inside I'm like, oh, okay, but inside I'm thinking to myself, you know, shame on you. I mean, maybe you can get to the end of your career by not adopting these things.
Some of them are riding it out, yeah.
But
I see that in the graphic arts and the graphic design industry, huge. I've seen it over the years. I saw it when pre-press went electronic, and printers, you know, went instead of going from a light table to a contact frame to a plate maker to a press, it went from some guy sitting in front of a monitor to a press. You know, I mean, it's changed a lot. And that job, I mean, I was a journeyman pre-press operator, training people and all that, and that job just doesn't even exist anymore.
Yeah.
It's completely gone. And there's lots of jobs like that. I'm seeing more and more in the last 5 or 6 years where the tolerance for people who are holding on to the old paradigm is minimizing. And it's going to, they're disappearing, like they're dropping like flies, some of these old school guys in my industry. I mean, I'm seeing it a lot. They're just, oh, you don't know Facebook? See ya.
Yeah. Right,
you know,
yeah.
Just, you know, you don't have a division that does social media that manages, or when you write for blog, when you're writing copy, is it SEO
friendly? Yeah.
Friendly. I mean, you know, it's now who cares if you can write good copy as long as it, you know, you can fit the keywords in there and key phrases well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You know, I see it with it's almost like right across the board. Like, you know, I follow some of these younger kids and on Twitter and stuff, and you know, and I see this kids today that don't. It's like I thought it was like, oh, you're kind of avant-garde if you don't have a home phone now. You're kind of like cutting edge if you don't have a home phone or telephone. You're just using your cell phone. Well, now I'm talking to some kids in their 20s. And they not only do they not have a home phone, some of them don't even have cell phones. That's all they communicate through is Facebook, which just blows my mind.
Right, right.
And some Facebook, of them,
Twitter.
They don't even consider getting like a cable at all. That's all that they'll have an iPad and they'll have Netflix, or they'll have cable and they'll have Netflix and Hulu, which they pay like $20 a month.
Yeah, none
$10
of my kids watch TV anymore.
They don't even watch TV. They just
none of my kids watch TV.
I know, it's amazing.
I have a Hulu account, 2 Netflix accounts, and you know, and I see, you know, that they're watching that stuff. But even that is they're more of them are
just all on the I like.
It's more about information to them than it used to. When I was a kid, you just watched Bugs Bunny and that was it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you were mindless and it didn't take any thought whatsoever. I'm really excited about this new age because most of my kids, they're more interested in exploring the world around them through the media that they play with, as opposed to just being a droid sitting in front of some screen.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled with that
because they can find what they were interested in and explore different things instead of it being pushed in front of them in the form of cartoons and serial ads.
Right. Right. Right.
You know what I mean?
Those days are gone. Thank God.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It's
gone.
Wild. Yeah. But it's.
Well, I don't use my landline anymore. I keep the phone number just because so many people know it, but I don't use it. I haven't picked up a landline in forever.
I have begged and pleaded to someone I may or may not be related to through marriage to get rid of the one in my house forever. And she has we generally don't get babysitters. For some reason she clings on to the notion that we need to have a landline. And I don't know the last time I picked up that phone to dial a number.
And the number you can keep.
You can keep it.
Usually like Vonage or one of those kind. That's what I'm looking into now. It's like one of those Vonage kind of things where you have the online. I don't have enough baud rate in my house to do Vonage, so I'm going to try it. You know, here at the studio, I think.
Interesting.
Try and get rid of one. At least one. We had 2 landlines. We had a business line and the house line. I want to get rid of at least one of them.
I like to know
the both of them forward to our cell phones. So if you call my landline or my cell phone, it doesn't matter. You're getting to that device right there. I mean, that's it.
Oh, there you go. That's the way it works, man.
You know,
today it's different. Well, we got a lot of that was an interesting conversation.
That was fun.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Is there anything you're looking up forward to this summer?
I'm looking. You know, I'm looking to have so much fun. We're helping Carol McKenna open her studio, so we're doing the whole package for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, developing a product line
down on Rocky Neck.
Down on Rocky Neck,
Madfish Wharf.
Yeah, and. And I'm really looking forward to that whole helping an artist develop a product line, you know, big canvases, but also working with them on price points for note cards and small prints in bags and you know, that whole thing. And we're doing that with several artists. She's the first one, but that's, you know, I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to printing. I love printing.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're gonna do a lot of printing. I think it's gonna be a very successful year for everybody on KPAN this summer.
People can go to your website, kpangclay.com. That's GICLEE .com. And there's pop-up stores there that you can buy directly through James, and you can get pricing. But honestly, the best way to get to know James and Anna is to come down and meet them, because
They're fun people, and they and if you bring your thumb drive with some of your images on there, they you'd love to sit down with them and work with them, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, we do that on the house for anybody that walks in the door.
Yeah.
We do what we call an image evaluation, where we'll just take a look at your images, we'll play with them. I'll show you some Photoshop dancing, you know, do a little Photoshop dancing, see how that works out, and you know, it's one of those things. It's you know.
You like to meet people. You're a people
person. I love
person.
To play with artists. I mean, I'm having such a blast. There's so many great creative people here, and such a wide range of styles and so forth. I'm having a blast.
Well, there you go. James, thanks so much.
Thank you.
We got our podcast in the books. For James Eves at Cape Angie Clay, this is Joey Shimotaro. Thanks for listening.